Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla Thompson.
My name is Adam LaVance. Thanks for joining us for episode 77. And it is the Christmas episode. And it's very exciting to be here. And we have to say off the top that normally we have a special guest in house with us. But unfortunately, our normal special guest, John Pierce, has got his priorities wrong this year, Rick. He's actually off on a cruise with his wife and he's not here. And we actually got in touch with him to see if he was coming, and he let us know that he couldn't be here. And devastated, I must admit, that he wouldn't put the podcast before a cruise and actually say, look, if we're going to book this in, we need to book it around the podcast. He hasn't thought about that, and off he goes sailing the high seas.
Well, devastated. He certainly wasn't, Adam. Yeah, but no. Sailing the high seas. That's right. My old colleague Piercy. Hopefully, you're not getting too seasick out there, John. But we'll certainly touch back on the reasons behind that, and also whether there is a slim chance that maybe he has still made the effort to get in touch with us, Adam. But we might touch on that later.
He may be able to pop in, old Father Christmas, may be able to pop into the Christmas episode a little bit later on.
Our regular listeners will hopefully be thinking, oh, great, because he has been one of our regular guests. But it's great to be here doing the Christmas podcast, Adam. We have had a few gaps this year, but it's lovely to be here in such a crazy week of work for the two of us and for everyone in public education. Mm. But we have still somehow found time to sit here together.
And it's great, and it's something we always talk about, something to look forward to. And I know for our listeners out there that, I know particularly for Rick, I know me being down in 1-2, it's been a relatively quiet week for us down in the 1-2s, but I know for you the last 48 hours have been ginormous. I know you've run the graduation this week, you had a big school excursion today, a lot of those things going on for you, and the fact that you've been able to get up for this is absolutely fantastic, mate. So that doesn't go unnoticed, and it is a bit of a beacon in the week, though, that with everything going on, to sit down, we have cracked a beer tonight, sitting here enjoying that sort of stuff. It is something to really look forward to give you that extra lift.
It is, Adam, and it's great to sit here. It has been a busy week, and it's probably one of the busiest weeks on our calendar, and a lot of people might be shocked by that, because you are running on empty. A colleague last week said, I listened to the podcast this week, I'm just amazed that you guys were able to churn out an episode. So I'm wondering maybe what she'll think this week.
Is how we've been able to find that time. Yeah, but it takes a little bit of that planning ahead and things like that. But it really is something important, I think, to reflect on the year that we've had and reflect on that with our listeners too. And we hope that everyone who listens to the podcast this week and for this Christmas episode actually starts to think back about the year, some of the good points, hopefully there wasn't too many low points, and begins to think about next year and gets themselves excited for that.
I was speaking to a colleague today, Adam, and I remember as a child, and I know that everyone's childhood is different, everyone has their own experiences, but I remember my childhood, I kind of loved school finishing and then the excitement of Christmas. Mm. And there is one thing about working in this profession is that there is the work, there is the, for us as Australians too, teaching our end of the year is at Christmas, unlike the Northern Hemisphere, but you know, we work up to that crescendo, and then it is a celebration. Like, I mean, regardless what your Christmas is like with your family, it is kind of, there is this end, isn't it? And there is something, I still think of my childhood a lot at this time of the year, particularly when you teach year six, you see that finishing school, it's quite emotional, and there's lots of things going on. So as busy and as crazy as this week's been, and I have had my moments of doubt, it's also a really invigorating time as well.
It is, absolutely. And seeing the kids excited, you know, and I really enjoy the final assembly, and then I actually love hanging around outside and talking to families of the kids I've taught or anything like, or families will come over that I'm teaching next year, and having a great chat and reflecting on the great year that we've had, and actually sends you off onto the holidays on a high point. It really is. It's really good.
Can I ask you a question, Adam, in terms of the last assembly? I just did ask you a question, didn't I?
Yeah.
Have you ever been roped in, and I hope there's no young listeners listening here, but have you ever been roped into playing Santa at the Christmas assembly at the end of the year, Adam? Because male teachers have been often roped into
they have been. No, I haven't. I have been roped into playing Santa in previous years, doing staff KK at a morning tea or a lunchtime or something like that. But no, I've never come out dressed in Santa gear. Has that happened to you? Have you been up because it's happened to you?
Well, no, but quite I'm getting afraid that it's almost my turn. I've escaped it for about 12 years, Adam.
Yeah.
And the radar, I feel, is starting to point towards me. But So I always try and have that extra role at the Christmas assembly to kind of just go, sorry, I can't be asked. Yeah. I've got to do the sound. Yeah. Or I've got to, you know, I've just been, what's that up there? And then you run off.
Yeah, and then you run off and off you go. Or you try and hide behind a pole.
Yes.
And try to look for it. You can't see RKT anywhere. So.
But you know what? You know how thin and wiry I am.
You could hide behind a pole.
Even a fake guts. Would not
it wouldn't suit you at all. No, you could hide behind the pole, but I think doing Santa wouldn't suit you very well. Look, we've got some good topics tonight, and we do have some contributions from people outside the podcast as well tonight, which is fantastic. We may not have a guest here with us live, but we do have some contributions from other people, which would be great.
But I'm really excited, Adam, just before we go into our first topic, is that we do have a special interview that I've recorded earlier this week with two of my colleagues, two wonderful teachers who are retiring. We've never had actual retirees on the podcast, Adam. Particularly, we've never had them on as they're retiring.
Yes,
Leanne and Robin, really looking forward to hearing their interview. They reminisce on their time in the job, well over 30 years, well over 35 years. It's going to be special.
It is going to be very special. We're looking forward to it. So that'll be a little bit later on in the podcast. So let's get stuck into our first topic. So, Rick, for our first topic tonight, we actually had a special guest who is all set to come in, and is unfortunately a good friend of mine, Jackson. He's actually unwell at the moment and wasn't able to be here. So, Jackson, we give a really good shout-out to you, mate. We hope you're feeling better soon. But what we were actually going to talk about is Jackson is a high school teacher and is obviously in the high school, the secondary system. And we really wanted to sort of touch on some of those, particularly at this time of the year, the differences between high school and primary school at this time of the year. Because I think we were talking off air before about, you know, last week, particularly the kids coming back from orientation, some of those students have siblings who have already been there who are already finished. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting time of year because at the moment we're working right up to the 22nd of December, which I think we might have mentioned it last week. It seems outrageous that we're working through the 22nd of December.
I think the students, for me, it's the students. It's a bit outrageous for the young students.
In what way?
Well, I'm happy for the. I'm happy to work up to the 22nd if that's how the dates fall.
Yep.
I think for primary students, I think it's a bit. This week is a bit ridiculous because it is. We have loose ends to tie up as well, and I think particularly, and you're teaching the younger students. You do have to find a way. There's no doubt about this, and I'm sure you have no shame in saying this.
Yep.
In the last few days, you have to find a way to keep them busy.
Yeah, you do.
So you can try definitely. And get some of your paperwork done. Yep. Tie up your loose ends. You might be moving classrooms too, so you got to pack up and
which I am
move.
Doing this year. Yeah, you doing are at the moment. Yeah.
So that's how I feel. And so if let's say the kids finished today. Our kids. You and I would have Thursday and Friday to do that work. I would be happy to work those days.
I was going to say that. I was actually going to say that's absolutely right. If the kids finished today, we're all home. We had a Thursday and a Friday, full days, 9 to 3:30, where they're doing all the right things, but moving rooms, getting our files in order, even having an hour. I know at our school last year was probably one of the first years we did where we actually got all the staff together, and then it was kind of almost like a round robin around the table where you would go and sit with another teacher who was having some of your students for next year, and you would talk a little bit about them. So they go through and go, so here's a little bit of information about them, and which I think is far more valuable than flicking through files that are personal.
We did that as our staff meeting on Monday night. So dating, they call it. It was a shorter meeting, but you just got around, everyone was there.
It's a great idea.
You get around everyone, I think if we link back to, you said, you know, Jackson, who was going to be on, we were, if we think about the end of the year for secondary teachers, and I know that we do have some secondary teacher listeners, we'd love to hear from you. When the year six students that I teach came back from their orientation days last week, as you said, a lot of them were talking about the earlier finishes that they gradually start to have over the years, depending on whether it is private or public. They've also got siblings that have finished earlier.
Yep.
We know that the 18-year-olds, the year 12s, finish really early prior to their exams. It does, and so if you compare that to, I guess, the public primary schools that are working right up at, and being at school right up to the 22nd, there is a discrepancy there. I was wondering, why is that? And a further question is, when that happens with secondary teachers, how is that extra time that they've got when they're not teaching classes distributed?
It's interesting because you couldn't, if you've got students, if you're a year 11 and 12 teacher and they're all finished, you can't be hanging around school for a month doing diddly. Like there's got to be something to do. And I know talking to Jackson and talking to a few other secondary teachers, they are distributed around the school. They will take extra classes or relieve current teachers for a little bit of extra planning time. They will begin to do a lot of planning for next year. Obviously, year 11 and 12 is an extremely important time in this for the students. So planning, getting a leg up on doing all those sorts of things is very, very important. And being around, I know in some of the private schools, the staff still work quite late. I know last week in a few schools, when a lot of the higher kids have finished, they actually had a lot of PD. So they actually had some professional development days, some planning days, did all that sort of stuff. So while there are a lot of students finishing early, the staff are still there working through. But I kind of don't mind that. I feel like during the year, we don't get enough of that time. We get a curriculum day here, curriculum day there. We don't get that time in a row, like a Wednesday to Friday, to go, well, let's have an extra day PD here. Let's have a day here doing this or that. It just doesn't really happen.
In terms of our, that's a good point. In terms of our packing up at the end of the year, like I was touching on before, you know, I don't think this is about whinging for something that, you know, you shouldn't have. I think it's more common sense. To me, this time at this very end, very pointy end of the year, you know, this time could be used in a better way than what it is actually used for you to really, like, complete the year properly. So when you walk in day one next year, the things that, you know, like those little silly things about, you know, whether it's organizing a desk, whether it's filing away, shredding that paper that you, you know, those old assessments, you know, that can all be done. You start afresh, and the first thing you think of on that day one is what you're going to do with the children that week and what's relevant for 2018.
Because what happens, we all go up early. Like I know I do. I go for a few days prior to going in. I wouldn't have to do that if we got time at the end of the term when reports are already done. That's all out of the way. The kids aren't going to be learning anything new. Why do they need to be there? The other thing I want to come back to with that too is why can we start a term? Why can the kids start a year on a Wednesday but can't finish a year on a Wednesday? What's the difference?
That's interesting.
You know, like next year, staff start on a Monday, the kids come back on a Wednesday. Why can't the kids finish this week on a Wednesday, but we finish on the Friday? I don't get why we can't have that.
Well, I believe that your students are finishing... but I believe that your students finished today.
They did.
Thursday.
Yes. Yep.
So how is that Friday orchestrated? How was that Friday orchestrated?
Okay, so that goes through school council, and I believe we had a curriculum day up our sleeve as well, still to use. So that will be used for 2018 planning, a lot of those things. So we're certainly not rocking up, hanging around. It's Christmas and stuff like. Well, I'll be getting their laptop out, ready to rock and roll, because really you've got that day. And, you know, I know my team, it's a new team. I'm going up into 5-6. We've got a teacher coming back who was in 5-6 a couple of years ago, who's coming back in there. So we want to try and get as much done as we possibly can. So it's orchestrated, school council, tick that off. But staff are going to be there doing a lot of work around 2018.
See, it's a shame that you would think a curriculum day has to be used for that, if that's the case. And I'm sure there's a lot of schools doing that, because the other side of that for me would be that, you know, it would be nice to be able to say, well, no, I don't want to waste a curriculum day on that, because we want to use our curriculum day for actual professional development.
I agree.
Why can't all students around the state finish a little bit earlier? And to me, it would make even more sense for the younger students to finish a few days earlier, particularly the 6-year-olds and the 7-year-olds who are absolutely cooked.
Yeah, my 1-2s are cooked. My 1-2s are cooked. And I've actually got, for the final day today, I mean, I had 7 kids not there. Wow. You know, that some had already gone on, you know, some had already gone. A lot of those had already gone on holidays. A couple were picked up very early because they were going on holidays. I mean, it's the 21st of December. People want to get to where they want to go before Christmas kicks in, before the weekend rush. Some of them aren't even there anyway.
That's a really, really interesting point as well. As we touched on in the intro, my school's had a plethora of huge events this week, particularly for the Year 6 cohort. But you do, I mean, with these years that finish, where the school year finishes for some schools right up before Christmas, families want to get away for their holidays. So I wonder how that plays out. Obviously, I mean, a lot of my students are here. I had one absentee today. So I do wonder what, for families that do want to go away and get away to that holiday destination before Christmas, does it make it difficult if the school year is finishing so late?
Because they want to be there. They want to be there for all that stuff.
And that's wonderful, and that's great. Yeah, and I'm really glad that all my students are there. One other thing that I wanted to touch on with the high school years is, and I just did mention this earlier in the segment, is how that time is distributed. And I'm just yep. interested, do secondary teachers, when those classes have left, do they get that time then to plan? I know you mentioned in your discussions with Jackson that there might be time where they take other people's classes to relieve them. Do you know why they get that relief time, those other teachers? Is it to pack up? Do you think it would be? Or
could be. It could be end of year assessments. Maybe they're correcting assessments or beginning that planning time and things like that. Because it is very different, you know, the transitions and the, you know, they don't transition to a new class. You don't have one-up days and you're doing all those sorts of things. You know, if you teach Year 7 history, then you finish that Year 7 history next year and then you're into it again the following year with a fresh batch of Year 7s, you know, so that sort of stuff. So I actually think I'd love to throw it out to our listeners who are in high school. I know a good mate of ours, Lee Burns, as well, is a high school teacher. It'd be great if you could drop us a comment, mate, and just let us know a little bit about what happens at that time of the year. But I guess the discussion we want to throw it is, how does everyone feel about, because we have a lot of primary school listeners, what are your thoughts on finishing so late? Is it necessary? Is it okay for staff to finish this late? Do we need to ask the kids to finish a bit earlier? Where does the line go, I guess? So yeah, we'd love to throw it out to our listeners and hear more about that.
Absolutely. I think that's a great question, and I'm sure some of those secondary teacher listeners have probably been listening to this segment going, I've got the answer.
Yeah.
So please get in touch. So Adam, as mentioned at the outset, every Christmas episode we've ever done, we've always had our old friend John Pierce sitting here at the table with us.
We have.
So John did say, Adam, that he was very happy for you to have his extra beer. So it's there in the fridge for
you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, John. That's much appreciated. I'll enjoy every sud that comes out of that bottle.
So we were disappointed, but to be honest, and all jokes aside, we probably left it a little bit late to contact John. Although, as you sort of hinted at the outset, I would have expected him just to pencil it in his... When he gets his new calendar at the beginning of January every year, just put in that final week, John.
We shouldn't need to tell him. Well, no. That's the sort of thing. It happens every year now. It should just be part of his vernacular now. It's part of his life, and that I'm part of the Two Regular Teachers Christmas episode. And again, and when you said before, again, all jokes aside, when we're disappointed, because John's such a quality person to have on, really, and the way he's able to talk and articulate so many things and come from a different perspective, and because he's had such a good background in a variety of things, is so worthwhile to the podcast. So we love you, John. All jokes aside, we love giving you a bit of curry, but we are disappointed in a very loving way that you weren't able to be with us tonight.
For any listeners out there who are wondering, gee, they're really rabbiting on about a guest who I don't know, if you John Pierce certainly gave me my first look into the World Wide Web and how it can be used in schools, and then taking it further with blogs, wikis, and then so on. And obviously, in the last few times he's been on, Adam, talking about coding and everything that's happening with the new digital curriculum, he's always been slightly at the forefront of all that stuff coming into education. So if you haven't looked up some of John's stuff online, folks, please get on. We might put a couple of his links on the blog for you. But Adam, obviously John and I had some contact in the lead up to the Christmas episode to see if he could
certainly
come.
Did.
And he did take off on his ship, Adam. And but lo and behold, in the lead up to this week's episode, I received a text message.
Yep.
It came from John out on the high seas. Or, I mean, I thought to myself, well, has it come from his educational sleigh? Because after all, he is Two Regular Teachers Father Christmas.
He is. And there he is. He's on the sleigh. Maybe he's going on giving out cocktails, you know, like that, in his Santa suit or something like that.
With a tiny little, robotic... wireless robotic item.
It's funny, I actually could picture him going around the cuisine area. What do you call it? The self-serve stuff. What do you call that again?
Let's just call it the salad bar.
The salad bar, whatever. But actually going around as one of those Meebos. Going around and finding his way around. And he crashes into things and someone's got to reset him and move him around. So, yeah.
So, well, in amongst all that, he has made the time. And Adam, the audio that he sent, well, it's perfect. So, in listeners... I know he said that he couldn't make it, but our dear old friend John Pierce has actually been able to make it. He sent us a short audio grab from the ship, and we're going to play it for you now, Adam.
Hey, Adam and Rick. Yeah, bad luck that I can't be with you in person this time. However, I've had quite a busy year, and I doubt you blokes are, and it'd be lovely to have caught up with you. Much of my time this year has been playing with educational toys. Also all manner of robots and just of late a drone, a UAV. It's amazing what's available there nowadays. It's also a little bit scary because one can get lost in the minutiae of the things and be beguiled by the shiny aspect of everything. They do have all that, though, a heck of a lot of promise. That promise has got to be realised, and that's a challenge for everybody. It's also interesting just to see how other people are reacting to the technologies curriculum and all that it encompasses. Now, at this time of the year, it's always a good time to look back, and just came through this week that it's the 10th anniversary of the NAPLAN test. What an amazing thing, an event to behold. It brought to mind the fact that actually NAPLAN is predated by a couple of other tests in our wonderful state, one of which was the AIM, and before that, if we go back far enough, there was the LAP test. I can remember one of the very first times that the LAP test was held at our school. And given their dues, these guys wanted to actually make it a little bit more involved and a little bit less related to ticking boxes and things that they do nowadays. And one of the tasks that they gave us was to give the kids out some plasticine and some wooden sticks, and they were to make this model of something that was written in the paper test. Well, when we were doing it at the time, the year was June, and the room I was in was a rather cold room, and we needed the heater on. When we got all the grade threes in the room together, things started to warm up rather remarkably. So that when we distributed the plasticine, it was rather soft and didn't need any kneading to make it hold things up. However, we found out that they hadn't given us enough plasticine, so we had to send down to the preps and ones to get some more plasticine. In the interim, the kids had started to make their little models of these cubes, but the warmth of the room started to melt the plasticine even more, and unfortunately, all the little constructions started to get a lean, such that they were falling over and the kids couldn't get them to stand up. In the end, it was easier just to tell them that actually it was the letter C that they were trying to make, and that would be the answer for this one. So I think I might have subverted some whole NAPLAN process somewhere way back when we were making our little models. All in all, I don't know that it's actually detracted any of those kids' education or caused them any great demerit. That's interesting just to ponder on how much score we place in some of these things. Anyway, time to wish you and Adam and all the listeners the best of the season, and hopefully we might catch up with you folk next year sometime. All the best to two very regular teachers. Bye.
Well, Rick, I actually kind of wish we were being recorded then, because that plasticine story had us in fits. Like I couldn't stop laughing, because I couldn't stop picturing in my head these plasticine figures falling over. Oh, and then the panic that may have happened when you're giving it out and doing that and realizing, I don't have enough. Yeah. I don't have enough plasticine. Wait, everyone. I've got to go, and hopefully we can get some more. And unbelievable stuff.
A perfect example of when the powers that be from way above start saying, right, all kids need to do this to show us what they know, you know, and not knowing what it actually would really be like to get a bunch of grade threes. Yeah. And I love how, John didn't tell us this, but I love it how somewhere along the line, him and the grade three team at that time must have got together and said, let's do all this together. You know, we'll do it all together. Not enough plasticine, like, so all that time waiting while you go down to the prep ones, and classic stuff.
Comedy of errors. Yeah. And to keep going with that one, I actually see in a small way some validity in the task, because all we get kids to do on the NAPLAN is write and colour a box, read and write. That's pretty much it. There's no...
Intentions are good. Yeah.
The intentions are good, but...
But everybody had to make the same thing, didn't they?
Like, yeah, John, they did. Said, yeah, you know, yeah.
But, and I completely agree with what you're saying, but it's interesting, like, I guess the perfect task would be some sort of ending that is common, but the kids could do anything they wanted to get there. But
Or you could get them in one-on-one and say, look, can you follow these instructions, and you need to show me that you can make something. Like a hands-on task, they can follow instructions, they've got motor skills, problem-solving skills. There is some validity in it, rather than just going, here's another piece of paper, fill it out. You know, I think it'd be hard to do, to be fair, as John pointed out with the LAP test. I can't remember. You think back, can you recall doing any of those sort of tests when you were in primary school and high school? I'm not sure that I can. Maybe the AIM test.
But wow, see, I don't think
maybe,
I had the AIM.
Maybe the AIM test seems familiar to me, but I'm not sure if in the late 80s and 90s we had that going on.
Well, the AIM test was around when we started our career. I think NAPLAN... Well, John said it's the 10-year anniversary. Mm. So 2007, my first year was 2006. So I think AIM, I remember AIM happening, but my year level didn't do it. Oh, yes, I think some of them did, year five.
Yeah.
See, my memory's hazy. I wonder, is LAP an acronym, Adam? And some of our listeners out there might know for something. I imagine it was. I guess we could probably just Google it. But
Literacy and something, maybe?
Literacy and plasticine.
Literacy and plasticine. There it is, the LAP test. Read a book and make some use some plasticine.
Yeah, that's
perfect. That's great. But yeah, look, it is really interesting to reflect. And I think we talked about it last week, looking back that 10 years, that they've actually been able to analyse that data and has it actually moved the needle in anything really well. And maybe they are missing the mark. Maybe there needs to be a wider range of activities or opportunities to do different things to cater for more learning needs. I mean, they ask for differentiation all the time, but then they just give them reading, writing, maths, and you know the grammar stuff. You know,
it's interesting what John said about how when the room was too warm and they automatically said, "Look, this is what you're meant to have," and the kids' boxes got ticked. And like John said, as far as he knows, it didn't deter from them learning well. That makes me think about some of the recent articles I've read, particularly in the recent union magazines, the Australian Education Union magazine, about NAPLAN going online.
Yes,
we know that, and which in turn means that creative writing being marked by like a robotic presence, you know, or a code rather than a human judgment. And I think, to me, that there is problems in that. I think
does it open up though? Does it open up some more doors to do more things online? Like, could there be a coding aspect as part of NAPLAN? If they're doing it online, could it take them a link to a created coded program? They've got to follow some instructions. I know there's ones on the iPad that you can do that it's like a thing and you've got to go forward, right, up, push button things. Could there be something like that where they've got to follow that and show that they can code something to get there? I mean, I see that there's the concerns and how's it actually going to work, but I also think to play the devil's advocate a little bit, on the flip side, there is some opportunity to maybe cater to a wider range of learning needs if it goes online.
Well, I think that's a fine point. I think it could be something, particularly if they're saying that, you know, which a lot of experts are saying, that this, what John was mentioning in the first part of his correspondence was that, you know, this is something that's freaking people out, the new digital curriculum, but people are saying it's really, really important.
It is.
But to finish off, Adam, it really brings me back to the concern that is still out there that the entire year revolves around NAPLAN rather than other sort of other points. You know, that I mean, I hear staff who are going into a year three team or a year five team say, you know, oh, I'm going into a NAPLAN year, you know, and so it automatically is thought of as this is the monumental sort of, not moment, but that monumental hurdle, whatever you want to call it, of the year. And to me, that whole, like John said, you know, all this onus we put on it after all these years, and we've talked about it a lot on the podcast over the years we've been doing it, it's still a concern.
It is still a concern. For people to be going in and going, I'm in a NAPLAN year, rather than going, I'm in a year three year and I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to trying this and that, that their first thought is NAPLAN is a concerning thing. So we do want to say a big thank you to John, who's on the educational sleigh. And we do want to say, we mentioned it earlier, buffet was the word we were looking for. The walk going around the buffet, we said salad bar. I couldn't think of it. Had one of those mental blanks where I could picture him going around it and couldn't actually think of the word. But we hope he's enjoying the buffet. We hope he's kicking back, having a cocktail and just enjoying life.
Well, John, if you're coming through the Heads right now and around the Port Phillip area, I do hope that you're not maybe attending the buffet, because it could get a bit bumpy.
It could, and then we're in for real trouble. So, but again, thank you to John, and your contribution, as always, at this time of the year was fantastic.
Wonderful.
Things never said in the staff room.
Rico, mate, how's it going?
I'm well, thanks, Adam. Yeah, how are you, mate?
Going all right. Look, we've got a couple of days left, and looking forward to your holidays?
Oh, I'm really, really looking forward to my holidays, mate. We are going away after Christmas. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but I'm actually not looking forward to my holidays, and I really don't think we should have them, because I'm really going to be spending my Christmas break analysing data.
Things never said in the staff room.
So, Adam, one of the things that I've most been looking forward to for this Christmas podcast is revealing the interview that I conducted earlier in the week with two teachers at my school who are retiring after a very long time in the job, Robin and Leanne. I won't introduce too much more because I do that in the interview, but it was an absolute pleasure to sit over a lunchtime with them, Adam.
Yep.
Just to paint the picture of, you know, like a busy day, like which you'll appreciate. Robin gave up her lunchtime for it, and I went. She's our art teacher, so I went over to Robin's room and set up with a microphone. And Leanne was on yard duty, and she came in halfway through lunchtime, so after her yard duty immediately, and sat down. And we just talked. And I spoke to them at the Year 6 graduation earlier in the week, the evening after we did the interview. And they both said that they could have sat there for a long time afterwards and kept talking. They said they really enjoyed being able to reminisce at this stage just before they finish up.
Yeah,
so fantastic. It was a real privilege for me, and I genuinely mean that, a real privilege for me to sit there and listen to two absolutely fantastic teachers.
Yeah, fantastic. And I know it's a great interview, and I wasn't able to be there, obviously, being at your school. I was at my school at the time and stuff. But to be able to have them on and to contribute like this and to come from an angle that we, like you said, I think off the top, that we haven't been able to come from before is really good. So I don't think we need to say any more. I think we just need to spend the time listening to this wonderful interview. So, mate, let's get it going.
Turn up your volume and listen to a journey that two people have been on in the education profession. All right, folks. Well, really excited about this segment for our Christmas episode because I've got two of my very popular colleagues here, Robin Jones and Leanne Kelly, who are actually both retiring after... Well, I'm going to get them to tell you how long they've been in the job shortly, but it's a real privilege. I know on Two Regular Teachers, we've never actually had retirees on to talk about their time in the career. So we're on. I think we're interviewing them on the Tuesday of the final week of term. So there's 3 days to go after this. Welcome, Robin and Leanne, to Two Regular Teachers.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Yeah, great. Great to be here.
This is the interview, and Adam was very excited when I told him about that we were interviewing you two. He'll be jealous not to be here. But firstly, I've got to ask, immediate plans for retirement? Anything that pops to mind straight away?
I'm going to walk my dog on the beach any day, any time that I like.
Yeah, me too. Anything that I want to do, basically. But I guess I'm on long service leave for a little while, but even with the long service leave, it still runs out eventually, and it'll be great not to have to be anywhere at any time. I have a babysitting job though.
Oh, of course, yeah,
grandma. My grandchild, which will be lovely every Monday, but I've got a backup when I go on holidays, so that's okay.
Is there anything that you actually have put off, like that you've thought, I'm going to do that in my retirement?
I know, decorating my deck. And I did say deck.
Clarified, yeah.
Yeah, right. Deck.
There's no kids around.
No, that's right. I just want plots and plants and furniture, and I'm going to, and that's where I'm going to sip my margaritas.
Oh, wonderful!
So that's,
yeah,
that's my plan.
I feel that my physical fitness has gone downhill because I just haven't had the time.
Yeah.
So I just want to get back into walking and going to the gym and looking after myself a bit more.
Yeah, I think a lot of teachers would concur with that, even probably younger teachers. You know, we devote so much time to the job.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's great. Well, good luck with that. I'm sure we'll hear about it. You'll probably send the odd email bragging about it all, yes. In preparation for the podcast, I've been thinking about not just the job, but studying to be a teacher, and you two would have had a different experience to what I would have had at university.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you recall from your teacher training days prior to getting a job?
Sure. Well, I went to Geelong. It was called Geelong Teachers College in those days, in Vines Road in Geelong. I think it's now a community college, I think.
Yes.
And we did, it was all, when I started, it was, we did 3 years, and we were in the 3 years of training. And we were in the lucky era of Gough Whitlam. Gough Whitlam made all
tertiary education was free.
Free,
yeah,
and so
amazing.
We didn't have to pay back HEX or anything, which was wonderful.
And plus, we were paid to do teaching. We had a studentship.
Yeah,
yes, we did have a studentship, and I think if I remember rightly, it was something like $36 a week or something incredible like that.
So paid to actually do the training to be a teacher.
We got paid to be at college.
Yeah, we got paid.
And it wasn't very much, but it was equivalent in those days. But it wasn't a lot to live on. But I do remember, and this is something, remember little things, you know. We had a rented, we were at the hostel for the first year, and then we made some friends, and we all decided to move into a house in West Geelong with six girls. And we had a shared bedroom each, three-bedroom house, and we paid $6 a week rent each. No, what was it? Yeah, $6 a week rent. Yeah, it would have been $36 a week.
Yeah.
And the other $6, we put another $6 into a kitty for food.
Student teachers will be hating you now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, so we had a lovely, we had a great time. It was just a big party.
So it was teacher training college. So there was actually a place to go to do teaching rather than now where, I mean, you go to a university to do education where there's lots of other courses as well.
Well, I went to Melbourne State College, which is a part of Melbourne Uni.
Oh.
So, and I think it's now, it is actually called Melbourne Uni, that teacher education part.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that was only a 3-year course, so we came out with a diploma.
Mm.
And then it was only just coming in when I finished in 1977 that a fourth year would be required, so your degree.
Mm. Okay.
So most of us, everyone did it in their own time.
Mm. Yeah, so I had to. I was similar. I think I was out teaching just before that came in.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit old, a couple of years older than Rob. So I was
three,
out.
Three.
And still counting.
I was going to say BITCH then, but I should not. So I did it. Hawthorne Teacher Centre, it was called.
Ah, okay.
And we went to the Hawthorne Teacher Centre to do the extra subjects to be a fourth year.
To be a fourth year,
And we were so pleased we did, because some people didn't do it and they got caught up later on,
years later. Having to actually. Yeah.
And when the VIT came in, the VIT said you have to have a fourth year.
Yes.
And luckily we did it early.
Yeah.
But,
gee, that's really lucky, really, isn't it? Because I do know, as you just mentioned, briefly, there were some staff members that we know had to go back and study reluctantly, didn't they, over the last couple of years.
And one of those courses I remember was you picked whatever you wanted to do. One of them was learning to play guitar, and I had to sit there and strum a guitar. I still can't do it, but you passed the subject.
Well, that's I was going to ask, are there any particular, we have had an old colleague of mine from my previous school on before who is retired now, and he was able to pick out some of the subjects that he was doing that wouldn't be offered now. He talked about actually learning how to write cursive on the chalkboard with chalk. Anything like that you recall?
I can't remember that, but I think we did that when we were on teaching rounds.
Okay.
We emulated what the class teacher was doing.
One which was really handy was in science we had to, what do they call it when you put an insect in a block of
glass?
Amber.
Amber, is it? Don't even know it, but we had to put an insect in and shave it all around and have this on display, and that was, we got marks for that. And another one we had to do was learn the melodica. Well, that's been really handy.
What's the melodica?
Melodica is a
like a recorder,
like a recorder with a few notes on it, an octave or a couple of notes. That's called a melodica. We all had to buy a melodica and learn to play it.
Wow,
it's been sitting in my wardrobe ever since.
Oh, you've still got it? Wonderful. Oh.
I don't know that I have. I gave it away a long time ago.
Well, after you finished your training then, were you, I know that, I mean, this has been common right up probably until I was at university, that sometimes people would have to travel to their first job. Like, it really was whatever you got, you had to take. Was that what it was like for you?
Yes. Well, I made the big mistake of when I put down preferences saying I want to be on the coast.
Ah.
So they sent me to Simpson, which isn't far from the coast, but it was a long way from where I wanted to be. Western District Victoria, like down
near... Oh, Western District Victoria. Like I know.
Sorry, I didn't enjoy that year, let's just say that. And then...
Was it just 1 year then? So just were you able
year.
To get out? So you're
well, at the end of that year, someone said I can apply to get out on compassionate grounds.
Okay.
So I applied on the grounds that I was engaged to someone in Ocean Grove who had his own business.
Right.
I didn't have a boyfriend at the time.
But
I got to Ocean Grove and I've been here ever since. And
it's like the 15-year-olds trying to get into World War One. Yeah,
well, I wasn't so lucky, but I had a group of friends who we wanted to stick together, and because like Gough Whitlam brought it in that we got the studentship, but the part of the studentship was that we had to serve in wherever they put us.
Yeah.
So that was, there was a way to get teachers out into the country.
Of course.
And into the remote areas. So they put you anywhere. So we decided, we were allowed to choose like Robin did, and she chose wrongly. And we chose the Western Suburbs because we knew that we would be kept together in the Western Suburbs, and we rented a house.
Yeah.
So I got Altona North, and friends of mine, you know, they got Footscray and Yarrabelle and those sort of places. So we rented and
Yeah, so, it could be communal, yeah.
Yeah, and we had a wonderful time in Melbourne. It was great.
Off air, Robin and I were talking briefly about the way that, and this is the big question, I think, is the way that the job has changed in the time that you've been working. And we might get to how long you've done it in the profession, maybe at the end of the interview. But to me, who's about 12 years in the job, you two are two people who have worked sort of there's two eras. There's kind of, you know, the pre full accountability maybe for teachers and then post. And so you've seen, you know, the incoming of data analysis and more expectations on teacher. Can you just give us a few maybe hints at what it was like in the, I hate saying it, but in the old days?
Yeah. Well, I was, my first grade, I had a grade 2-3 composite. I was thrown in at the start of the year. I was not given one ounce of help for that whole year.
Wow.
And at the end of the year, as I was leaving, the principal said to me, "Oh, good on you, Rob. You know, I hope you realise you had a stacked grade." So they gave me all the awful kids in my first year out with not one bit of help, no peer mentoring, no coaching, nothing.
No.
And we had to write our own, what was it called? Your curriculum.
Oh, work program?
No. Yeah, work program, but the overall thing. We had to develop it ourselves. Oh, right. I mean, we had guidelines, I guess.
Yeah.
Or we'd, you know, get help from, you know, have a look at what other people had done. But we had to, and handwrite it, mind you.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, I mean, there wasn't curriculum guidelines coming from the top as such back
then?
There were a few. There's some at our school.
It was very vague.
Altona North was a fairly big school. And incredibly, when we got there, the three grade six teachers, there were three grade sixes and a 5-6 composite. And the three grade six teachers in the holidays got study leave. They used to do study leave in those old days.
Yes.
And the three grade six teachers before us took study leave, and the principal found out in the holidays. So three graduates, like myself and two other girls, from straight out of college, they put us straight into the grade sixes, didn't put any, you know, so three of us were straight out grads.
Straight out. And so we had 36, no other mentor in there too.
No, well, the grade 5-6 teacher was a man who mentored us, and he was lovely. But we didn't know how to. Well, I had 36 grade six kids in the first year out, and they're all in their seats, row by row, you know, the desks. And the teacher.
We're just getting knocks on the art room door here from eager children.
Yeah, we didn't know how to mark a roll or anything. It was just, we knew nothing.
Mm.
And so luckily I had a mentor and fellow.
That's hard. I mean, I know that there are some schools out there that still don't do the mentorship for graduates very well. I know our school does it very well. I know that there are supports in place. In terms of, I guess, expectations on teachers, do you think even back when you started, were there still expectations on teachers, high expectations, but in a different way? Or has that just really increased, do you think, in the last 15 years?
I think it's increased.
Yeah, I think it's really increased in the last, like I would even say just the last 10 years maybe. The department seems to be, and we were just talking about this before, since PISA scores have been introduced, and PISA, all people know what PISA scores are,
that's right,
they know these people listening.
Yep.
When they came in, and our country was, you know, looked at against other countries, and our standards were so low, and all of a sudden education became the forefront, and all principals became accountable.
Yes.
Before that, the principals weren't accountable.
Mm.
On my first, I won't say the name of the fellow, but, and we went on to lunch on the first day, and the staff didn't ever go back because he didn't say, we went to lunch and nobody went back.
Wow.
At the
That's
pub,
a perfect
went,
example.
Went to the pub for lunch and didn't come back.
Happened all the time.
Yeah,
There'd be some young people today going, oh, that sounds great. But I guess there are some good things about the job tightening up, I think, as well, isn't there?
I think it is.
And society's just changed anyway.
Yeah.
I want to keep talking about that topic, but I'm wary of the time, and the bell may go, you know, during our last bit of the conversation, but I wanted to ask, as you're finishing, firstly, Leanne, do you know how many years you've done in the job, not just at this school, but
well,
in
look,
all up?
I got a certificate, a lovely piece of paper from the, I mean,
for the Queen.
That's me being very cynical. From the department, with a frame around it, and it's up somewhere in my house. No. At 35 years, we got a 35-year certificate and a dinner at the Mercure, and nibbles and champagne at the Mercure, and they acknowledged your 35 years.
Yeah,
so
nice.
I have done 35 years plus a few more. That was probably about 3 years ago.
Okay,
yeah.
Rob.
So well, if you count the years at college, because I was a member of the department, so from 1975, do the math. 42 years.
42.
But then take off 8 years because I had a year when I went overseas,
yes,
and 7 years when I took off to have my kids.
Yeah.
It's still quite hefty though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's
it's
wonderful.
It's a lot of years, but I'm speaking for myself here, and I'm sure Rob's the same because I know how good she is with, you know. I just say, I'd like to say that I have enjoyed every school that I've been in, and I've been in some hard knock schools out at Corio, and you know, before I got to lovely Ocean Grove. But it's the camaraderie of the staff that always gets you through, and and even in the hard schools, if you've got a good group of people, it's a great profession to be in. And
we've just got Christmas music playing in the background, but we're going to plough on because you know.
I think teachers have always had that. But now I think it's even more so.
Yes,
because they work so
they
closely
work
together.
And
I think it's amazing. I think it's fantastic.
So the collegiality is is great. That's happening. I know for me, that's one of the things that I really value.
And that all teachers are willing to share their ideas openly. They don't keep things to themselves and think, oh, you know, it's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
Everyone works together. Here they do anyway.
I think something too, I've just thought of something then, about the competition bit. In the old days, I don't remember being in a competition with anyone, but when you got your AR mark and all of those sort of things, they were promotions, you see. We used to get promotions. Nowadays, there's no promotions because everybody's on the same playing field and the unions have brought in your pay scale that goes up and up and up. So there's no inspector. We used to have inspectors coming
I've
in.
Heard about that.
And giving you a promoted mark. And that promoted mark got you up the scale of...
But the inspector had nothing to do with the school, did he? He just came in from somewhere else. Yeah.
And an inspector in our first school we're in, he made sure, the one thing that he made sure and ticked the box, that you had the alphabet across the board in cursive script. That was one of the things. Oh yes, she's very good because she's got the alphabet across the top of the board.
Oh, amazing. Imagine that was looked for now.
So there's no competition there. I don't think there was much competition in the old days.
No, but
there would be in that system now,
if you had that sort of
a system where everybody was
really
was promoted that way.
Just to finish off, and the bell's going to go shortly, and I guess that's kind of timely and quite relevant, really, but this is going to be probably the most difficult question to sum up in a really short way. But what's, even though you are ready for retirement, the next part of your life, what is going to be something about the job that, one, you've valued all the way through and that you're going to miss? They might be two separate things, though, or they might be just the same.
No, I think the kids, they're just, they've always been, that's what we're about.
Yeah.
And as an art teacher, I've had the pleasure of seeing so much creativity, and I've had a wonderful time with the kids.
Yeah.
Great, right.
Most of the time. You always have your little turkeys.
Yeah, of course, turkey, perfect word.
The kids.
I can say the kids too. Love teaching, and haven't had a day where I've gone, oh, I don't want to go to school today, you know, except when you're sick, of course. Mm. But it's just, I think now, it's the kids, definitely, but it's the collegiality of the staff and having a bit of fun and seeing different people every day. The non-boredom of it, I suppose, is one thing. Not that I'm going to be bored. And I'm going to be bringing up the next generation, I suppose, of my grandchildren. They're the next generation.
I'll be
nurturing them through their days.
They are both two great answers. And I really want to thank you, and Adam will too, for having us. There's another knock on the door, for being on the show. And I feel privileged to have worked with you, but also to be able to sit down without really many interruptions and talk about your career. Congratulations and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Pleasure.
Okay, Adam, the Christmas anecdote's always a pleasure, so it's your turn, and I'm going to hand to you.
Thanks very much, mate. It's not a Christmassy anecdote, but it's something that came up, and it got me thinking about a story that I wanted to share from my last year of rounds. Now,
Your teaching practicum?
My teaching practicum, my last year of rounds, which is way, way, way back. This is 12 years ago, but I had a rounds at a really tough school in Geelong that some rough kids and things like that. And I was really enjoying it. It was in a 5-6 classroom, and you know, the kids there have got some challenges and things. And I think the biggest challenge was building some relationships with them and, you know, just getting on their level and doing those things. And I really I thoroughly enjoyed the challenge. Anyway, this was probably towards the end of my second week of a 3-week practicum. and we were doing some maths, and I was teaching some maths, and I think it was actually a little bit of fractions. Now, we weren't going too in-depth, you know, we were sort of going to some fractions, and we got going on it, and one of the boys who was a bit of a challenge didn't want to bar. Like, he was trying to annoy some other students, and he really wasn't sort of getting into it. And, you know, people who have, you know, everyone who's a teacher now has done their rounds. It's hard. The discipline aspect can be quite a challenge.
It's a craft, isn't it?
It really is a craft. But because it's not really your class. You're in charge.
Exactly.
But you've got your yep. supervising teacher over there and things like that. Anyway.
I don't think you can really ever master it until you've got your own class.
No, I think you're right. I think you can show the ability, but the mastering of it, you need your own class. Anyway. So I'd done the mini lesson and the kids were going and off they went. And we're going around and I was going around making sure everyone was on task. And I finally got myself over this boy. I thought I'd give him a little bit of time. I'd spend some time with other kids, make sure they're right. So I go over there and he's just sort of leaning back on his chair, playing a bit of drums with his pencils on the table. And I said, I won't use his, I'll change his name. I said, Daniel, what's going on, mate? Don't really want to do fractions, he says. I said, come on, mate. I really think you got to do it. You know, it's important. You need a bit of a hand. No. And I said, well, look, mate, you've got two options. I said, you can do it now with me and I'm happy to get you started, or you can do it at recess. He went, stopped, looked at me, and this is no joke, he looked at me and said, F off. He actually told me to F off. Now, in that situation, what do you do? Because I can't look. You want to look at him and go, no, mate, you can F off. You know, you can't say something like that. You don't want to go bananas at him because clearly he couldn't give a stuff. Whatever's going on for him outside of school and what's going on for him is far worse than anything I'm going to be able to say to him or do to him or anything like that. And I said,
and many teachers in those schools might say, welcome to the club. You get told to F off every day.
Yeah, exactly right. And it was more for me. I tried to actually go, oh, come on, mate. There's no need to be like that. I'm just trying to help. I just want you to be able to... Because you panic a little bit. You've got that panic inside of
something. Yeah,
and then my supervising teacher obviously heard that and came over and went, what are you doing? Like, that's not on. And, you know, you go through that sort of process. But because this came up for me because a kid at our school got caught in the yard just swearing. Like, he was playing cricket and got himself out and, said a swear word and got in trouble. He had to walk around with me at recess and we were, you know, talking about it and things like that. And it just sort of brought up, you know, the schools where it may not happen very often, but have you had an experience, not so much that a child or a student has swore at you, but just been sort of outright rude and just sort of in a way that it kind of caught you almost off guard a little bit? Has that ever happened to you at all?
It has. I can't recall any major incidents happening on my teaching practicum.
Yeah.
I know there'll be some teachers out there when I say that I haven't really experienced what you've just explained because... Perhaps it's just the clientele that I've worked with, and that's just how my career's panned out. I've had little ones. I remember there was one time, and this is nothing. And again, I know people will laugh, but the kind of rudeness that I can remember is like at the end of the day, the bell's gone, and I just haven't quite. There's one more message I need to tell the kids, and this happened with the year sixes once, and the bell went, and I was standing. I said, "Hang on, there's one more thing I need to explain. Just hold on for a second."
Yep.
And one boy just went, hurry up. And it was a boy, like, just like that. And
But it catches you off guard. Yeah. The point
but
is...
But this was a boy who's normally really polite. And I said, did you really just say that? Like, and just hang around. We'll chat afterwards.
Did he hang his head a bit and kind of go, oh...
But he still said, I just have to go. And I said, it was going to take 30 seconds. 30 seconds wouldn't have affected it. Kept arguing. No, I have to go straight away. They couldn't process the 30 seconds. Now, I mean, I think that's funny. That's nothing compared to what some teachers put up with in difficult areas.
No, that's not. That's easily the worst I've experienced. The only other one that came close was the prep boy who gave me the middle finger when I was coming around the corner because he thought it was cool. He thought it was like a thumbs up. Hey, Mr. Labarge. And he gives me the middle one like that. And I'm like, oh, mate, you can't do that. I have to quietly explain. Because he thought, that's he's brilliant. Obviously seen it at home, that it was like a thumbs up. He's just giving me like a thumbs up, but he'd seen it and didn't understand.
Dad's giving the middle finger with a smile.
And something like that. He thought, that's cool. Okay, I might do that to Mr. Labarge.
I think that's wonderful, actually.
But I think everyone's had that one. I think it's more the idea that you're doing something and it's a kid. I mean, this kid didn't so much catch me off guard. I knew he was a bit of a handful, but something just happens that catches you off guard and you sit back and go, I can't believe that came out of your mouth. I can't believe you've just done something like that. And even sometimes you'll say that to him and they'll instantly hang their head. It's kind of like they've had a brain fade. Mm. It's like those football players sometimes who whack someone beyond the play and then instantly look remorseful. They get suspended. It's kind of like, I just had a 10-second brain fade. And that's what the kids are. That boy going, hurry up. Like, clearly he had to go somewhere. And that was playing on his mind more than anything. And he needed to get out the door. Yeah. And he's just going, hurry up. I need to get out of here. Not even thinking about how that comes across.
Swearing is interesting, isn't it? Just to finish off, because I'm sure you and a lot of our listeners who are teachers have heard, you might be walking past an area where kids are playing, or maybe you're working in an office and there's kids at lunchtime, and you might hear a couple of choice words dropped just here or there. And sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yes,
I kind of think, look, no, because I would get out of my seat, leave the building if I heard it outside, and they've probably gone by then. You do have to make that choice that if it's not, it's picking your battles, isn't it? I guess if you heard someone violently directing it at someone, you would address it. But sometimes you just hear it dropped, even by kids, and that sort of thing. Yeah, I might just let that one go.
Yeah, particularly if it's a sport one too, something happens or, you know, and they say it and they instantly see you there. They didn't see it, they only see looking at you and they drop their head. And I'll just sort of go, just watch yourself. Mm. There's no need for that. And what I always come back to with the students, particularly the older ones, I'll always say, do you hear me doing it? And they'll look at you and go, no. And I say, well, so what do you need to? Mm. If I don't need to walk around here and teach a lesson or be out in the yard using bad language, why do you need to be using bad language? And they kind of go, yeah, fair enough. But I don't want to get stuck into that sort of stuff. If a kid's going bananas and swearing important, like you said, that's where you pull them back into line. But yeah, pick your battles is a good way of putting it.
Well, you know what, Adam? Hurry up.
Well, jingle bells, jingle bells. Two regular teachers all the way. We're finished up, mate. The Christmas episode is in the bag. And even between these topics that we just did in the anecdote, we just sort of said that we are going to be back next year, and we're very excited to be back next year because we've actually really enjoyed these last two episodes, and we really do try to do more. And you know, the more leadership roles, like I'm leading student wellbeing in our school next year, you're leading the grade sixes next year. Mm-hmm. With leadership on top of your teaching comes more of that responsibility and a little bit less time. But we are hoping next year to hopefully do a little bit more than what we're doing and, you know, play a little bit by ear. But yeah, it's been a bit of an up and down year for us, but we want to kick on again next year.
Absolutely, Adam. And I think what's important, I've been reflecting on the podcast a little bit, and I for those people who may be new to the podcast, well, we've been going since 2014 now, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
And look, we both know that we've covered some topics more than once, but we kind of think with our podcast, it's always been about being a regular teacher. And although the job is always evolving and every day in the job is different, we do kind of think that there are some things in the job that don't change. And so hopefully even next year when we come back, you know, there's still something there for those people who are maybe just starting out in the job.
Yep.
That, you know, it might be just about yard duty or what have you, but hopefully it's something relevant because we still think that there's a lot of things that are regular in the job that perhaps people aren't finding out when they're at university and maybe aren't even finding out from their colleagues when they're there. So we hope that we can maybe just shed a bit of a light on that.
Yep, and if it's not too much to ask to our regular listeners, and hopefully we're still coming out with topics and discussion points that are fresh and new, we really try and do that. Wouldn't hurt. We'd hope you could share the podcast with some, you know, potential new graduate teachers and things coming into the profession. If you wouldn't mind sharing the page or sharing the podcast, you know, with friends and stuff, we'd love to hear that because we really want to get some feedback. You know, more graduate teachers giving us some discussion points I'd like to hear more about, and, you know, even having that on the Facebook page for other people, other listeners to give their advice and feedback. I really think we could get that community feel going from 2018 and beyond.
Absolutely. So, It's been really nice to be able to churn out a Christmas episode. Thank you to John for sending the message in from the boat, and thank you to Leanne and Robin also. And hopefully Jackson, who was going to be our other special guest, can be on next year, Adam.
Absolutely. And thank you, as always, to our wonderful listeners for sticking by us this year, even when we've had a few quiet periods. So from me, Adam Lavaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson. And for 2017, we've both been two regular teachers.